Psalm 143, David writes a song that sounds a lot like that one we just heard. Remember, every time you look at the Psalms, you're looking at a song. Sometimes it's just maybe a study of Scripture or a book in the Bible, but we have to remember that these are actually lyrics that we're reading to a song. And this one in particular that David writes, if you could sum it up, I would title it, Help. He's crying out to God. And you remember the story of David. Number one, he's fascinating because he was historically probably a teenager when God called him. When he became the least expected person, when it's time for Samuel to anoint the next king, and he goes to all of Jesse's sons, and they were all brought before him, and the most likely ones were the big burly boys that were standing right there in front of him. And Samuel gets to the end of it and he says, "Have you got anything else?" And he said, "Yeah, David's over here in the sheep field." Nobody would have expected David to be the next king. Nobody would have expected that the man after God's own heart would also struggle and have challenges that we can't imagine, and would also do things and stray from God in ways that you would not think the man after God's own heart would do, but he did. And God still managed to do some incredible things in and through his life. And this is one of those moments where he's crying out for help. He's running from Saul and he's asking God to do something and to help him. So I want to take a look at that this morning and then share some things with you as we go. In verse 1, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness." I'm going to stop right there, because there's a fundamental principle here that David is doing. And again, this is one of those things that we can read so much that we lose the intensity of what's happening. Because most likely when he's writing this, when he's saying this, when he's singing this, it's with a passion. He's begging God to hear him. He wants to be heard. It's a fundamental thing that all of us want to be heard. We want to be heard. We want to be understood. And he's asking God to hear him. And he does in the context of his faithfulness. He's even saying to God, "God, I need an answer. I need to know something here. And in your righteousness." Knowing that God's going to answer according to what's best, even though it may not necessarily be what we always want. In this situation, David is saying, "Answer me, and when you do it, in your righteousness, not in my preference," which is kind of a scary thing to pray, because it puts us in a position to respond to not necessarily what we want, but what God is going to do. He's crying out to him. He's asking for an answer. In verse 2, he says, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight, no one living is righteous." Don't miss that. There's a misconception that some are good, some are bad. Let me give you a biblical principle. There is none righteous. No, not one. And David affirms that here. He's saying, "Do not enter into judgment. Don't judge me, because, yes, I have blown it." He's basically fessing that up, because I'm one of those who in your sight who is living, and nobody in your sight who is living is righteous. Nobody. There's none of this so-and-so's better than me, or I'm not good enough. I had the opportunity Friday night to speak to some teenagers that are, they're not church kids. They don't go to church. They're actually more street kids. And some of their stories are incredible. And one of the things you run into when you're dealing with people in that situation is they're trying to figure out if they could ever get good enough to come to God or to be a part of a church. There's this whole insecurity and unworthiness. And here's the truth this morning, just like David stated, we're all on that same page. There's none righteous. Greek word for none is none. Verse 3, he says, "For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He's crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed." When he's talking about the enemy, couple things come to mind in this situation. It would have been Saul coming after him. In our situation, we would state the ultimate enemy is Satan himself. I would contend that there's a lot of other enemies. That if we were to plug ourselves into this verse, and if we were to be saying the same thing or singing the same thing as David, there are enemies that we deal with too. Could be the enemies of stress, of personal struggle, of past stuff. There's a lot of enemies that you can plug into this equation where it's saying the enemy has persecuted my soul, crushed my life to the ground. Ever felt like that? You ever felt like your life is being crushed and it results in what he's saying, that he's overwhelmed, his spirit is overwhelmed, his heart is distressed, he's in bad shape. All this is coming down on him. And he's crying out to God saying, this is the situation that it's put me in. Now, keep in mind, there are those, and I've been one of them, been real good at it, that act like life's going good when inside is not. David here, I appreciate his authenticity when he's saying, I've had it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm distressed. Let's just get it out there. This stinks. God, do something. Help me out of this situation. In verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works, and I muse on the work of your hands. He's doing a balance here because he's saying there's some good things, and that's what I'm thinking about here. I'm thinking about all that you've done. I'm thinking about how great your creation is, the works of your hands. I'm thinking about those things. And in that context, in verse 6, he says, I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. When he says he spreads out his hands, it's a posture of prayer that means surrender. I give up. I can't take anymore. Something's got to give here. Something's got to happen. When I was dealing with this the other night, there was a young lady on the front row who just lost it. And I had the opportunity to talk to her afterwards, and I'm not going to tell you her circumstances, but it was unbelievable. And to try to imagine the things that she was going through at her age broke my heart. But it's so connected with her to think about it in terms of somebody like David would face those same struggles. We all do. At some point in the journey, somewhere, we either have dealt with it, we are dealing with it, or we're going to deal with it. And so to get in here and see what David is saying gives us maybe not necessarily some comfort, but some connectedness to know that even a guy like David, man after God's own heart, king of Israel, had those moments where he just blurted out, God, I need help. In verse 7, he says, answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me. It's pretty demanding, isn't it? God, I want an answer, and like now would be good. Answer me speedily. That's what he's saying to me. He's saying, I need your help, and I need it now. And he goes on to say, my spirit fails. In other words, I'm ready to give up. I'm giving out here. I don't have much left. And I really appreciate, like I said before, the authenticity of David. He doesn't try to pretty this thing up. And it teaches us, I believe, that we can talk to God this way, and it's okay. We don't impress God with the right things we say and don't say when we're praying. But I think we do touch the heart of the Father when we're authentic enough to say, I'm in bad shape. I've had it. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed. Because number one, he already knows it, by the way, before we even begin to talk about it. And number two, that's when the Father's heart connects with a child that's hurting. And it's okay just to say to God, I've had it. You can even forget a scripture verse when you're praying and God doesn't mind. Right, Mike? But that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, is it's okay. He's God. He knows. He knows. And so there's no trying to impress him when we pray to him, and especially when we find ourselves in a position like David's in, who he just needs to get it all out and to cry out to God. Do not hide your face from me. I need to encounter you. I need to experience you. I need to see you. I need to hear from you right now, is what he's saying. and lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Verse 8, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. When he says, cause me to hear your loving kindness, it's the same terminology for unfailing love. Love that never gives up, no matter what's going on. And this is what he's crying out to God for, to say, I know that your love will not fail me. Your loving kindness is what I need. Your mercy is what I need. And he's calling out for that so that God will respond to him, because he says in the second part of verse 8, for in you do I trust. Calls me to know what to do from here, the way in which I should walk. What do I do? Life's coming apart. I'm dealing with enemies on every side. I'm hurting. I'm tired. I need hope. I need help. What do I do next? Calls me to know the way. And what he's doing in that moment is he's surrendering to the leading of God. He's saying that he trusts him, but he wants to know his way. Tell me what to do now, and the way that I should go, for I lift up my soul to you. He says, here it is, God. Take it. You've got to help me with this. Only you can get me out of this, and only you can show me what to do next. In verse 9, he says, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. In other words, deliver me from my enemies. Get me out of this thing. You know, we see these song lyrics and the scripture here, and sometimes that terminology we can become too familiar with, and we're missing the intensity of what's going on. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. No, get me out. Get me out of this situation, and yesterday would be good. And because he's talking about the intensity of it and also the urgency of it as well. Verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you're my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Again, he's showing submission to the will of God, not his own. It's a similar terminology that we hear in the garden when Jesus says, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When we get to this point of desperation, of crying out to God for help, there's always that understanding that when we go, okay, God, help me with this, we're relying on what he's going to do and not what we think he ought to do with it. So he's submitting to the will of God for whatever happens next. Verse 11, revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. He's saying again, get me out of this. He's saying, revive me. I want to live again. I need life again. So that I'm not constantly in turmoil and torment and on the run and hurting and feeling hopeless. But Lord, revive me. And he says, do it for your name's sake. It's another good principle. That yes, he wants help, and yes, he wants out of it. But he also wants God to move so that it draws attention to God. Verse 12, in your mercy, cut off my enemies. Destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. He gets to the end of this song, he's not playing. The intensity actually builds as he goes through it. And when he gets to this, he's just putting it all out there. Here's what I need you to do. Destroy them. I can't take it anymore. Destroy the enemies that afflict my soul. You and I have enemies that afflict our soul. And when it gets heavy and it gets hard to deal with, and we begin to hurt and we begin to think, is there any way out of this thing? And is it even possible for this to change? It's in those moments that we're saying, destroy it. Deal with that, because it's afflicting me. It's hurting me inside so deeply that I find myself in a place to cry out in a way just like David is right here. And those last words, for I am your servant. He brings it home when he says, I serve you, which is why I'm crying out to you. I want to do what you want me to do. So in those moments where it begins to hurt, when it gets intense, when the situation seems impossible, it's a good time to write a song like David did. But it's a good time to understand that we can go to God and not try to impress Him with our spiritual prowess, but to cry out in the anguish, in the pain, and in the type of language that's real. I'm overwhelmed. I'm distressed. It's okay to talk straight to God and not try to pretty things up. He hears. He answers. Not necessarily in the way we would like. Most of the time, not in the timing we would like. But always in the way that's best for us, but more importantly, that's best for Him to get glory from the situation. And even when it does hurt, and we are in these situations of crying out, keep in mind, as something we talked about this morning in Sunday school, God is working. It may seem like He's a million miles away, and it may seem like that He's never going to come through in the timing that we want Him to. And it may seem like the pain is so great that there's no way it can change, but He is at work. And He will respond. And He will respond in the way that brings Him the greatest glory. So, this morning, this may be something that connects with you and where you're at. It definitely resonates in my heart, thinking about Jared's family, thinking about a lot of other things, thinking about some of the kids that I talked to Friday night that tore me up to hear some of their situations. Personal things, I relate to this. But even if you're in a position right now where this may not be where you're at, listen to me carefully. There's somebody close by in your life that's in this situation. And so in the moments that we cry out for help, the beauty of it is there's always hope. And our hope is Him. It's not us. It's not our ideas and our efforts. It's the God of the universe who loves us, who spoke everything into existence and calls us by name because He cares that much for us. Let me pray for you and we'll wrap it up. God, there's no question that sometimes life hurts, that our circumstances seem overwhelming. And Lord, that we do feel like the enemy is eating us up. And our souls are afflicted. We're in distress. We're overwhelmed. We've had it. Our spirit is failing. We're exhausted. And we cry out to You to help, to hear our prayer. Thank You that You do. Thank You that You allow us to experience the pain of whatever suffering and stress we're going through. Because in doing that, You prepare us. You give us an opportunity to give everything to You, to cast our cares upon You because You care for us. And Lord, I pray for each person in this room today who may be resonating with the words of David even now. Or at least we're thinking of people who are resonating with these words. Give us the humbleness, the humility, to cry out to You the way David did. Give us the compassion to help others that are in those situations where they're crying out to You like this. But most of all, Father, give us the heart and the desire to be able to say, we want Your will. We want Your glory. It's for Your name's sake, and that we want to serve You. Lord, send us from this place with an awareness of Your love for us, of Your desire to help us, of Your desire to live through us to help others. And get yourself some great glory as it happens, because You deserve it. Thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's true. And thank you for your Spirit that impresses it upon our hearts and that gives us comfort when we go through times like these. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a song to give you time to respond to God. If I can pray with you or help you in any way, please let me know. Or Mike or Lewis or anybody, we'll all pray about anything. But just make sure whatever the Spirit of God lays on your heart, you respond to.